Bill Payton, welcome aboard the Andy and Amanda Show. This is the Friday show here. A lot of things to talk about today. And, of course, we're going to be inviting Lee Van Dusen back on the show later on to address the latest happenings with AMC, Tesla, GameStop, this short squeeze versus a long squeeze. What's it all about? Should you get in? We got in. Why? Let's discuss it later and find out what's going to happen with that and why we made the decision to do so. Hey, listen, we're going to continue with our show right after this.
It lasts forever. The lives we lost today were lives given in the service of liberty, the service of security, the service of others, in the service of America. Like their fellow brothers and sisters in arms who died defending our vision and our values in the struggle against terrorism, of the fall on this day, they're part of a great and noble company of American heroes. To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this: we will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command. Over the past few weeks, I know many of you are probably tired of hearing me say it. We've been made aware by our intelligence community that the ISIS-K, an arch enemy, the Taliban, people who were freed when both those prisons were opened, has been planning a complex set of attacks on the United States personnel and others. This is why, from the outset, I've repeatedly said this mission was extraordinarily dangerous, and why I've been so determined to limit the duration of this mission.
I want to begin our show playing that clip and also welcome aboard Amanda from the UK. She's back with us. Hey, Amanda. Good
evening.
Good evening it is. Yes. How you doing there?
Hey, darling. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing fine, thanks. Doing real good. We just heard from Joe Biden as he had addressed the United States regarding, or the world actually, regarding the attack on the airport at Kabul, the northern gate at Kabul airport, which ended up killing about 90 Afghans, 13 United States Marines, and wounding over 100 others. It's interesting. What I got from his address was a couple of things. And we're kind of just diving right into the show today because we have a few things to go over. We're also going to invite Lee Van Dusen back on in a short while. We're diving right into this pretty quickly. But the reason, what I got from this is that he had said that, you know, for the past several weeks they'd known about the existence of a terror plot, you know, suicide bombing explosions.
Right.
And
yeah.
And they beefed up security for those entering the airport to evacuate Afghanistan. And they beefed up security with United States Marines, searching people for potential weapons and so forth.
Yeah.
If they knew, but that's not how terrorists operate. We'll just sneak on by security and hopefully they won't detect that you have a bomb on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have suicide bombers plus a couple of other explosions that did the damage, and they wanted, you know, the most concentrated airport entrance was the Northern Gate, and I mean, there's people trying to get in the airport from everywhere, but the terrorists, ISIS-K, they called them, wanted to go to the most concentrated area of people looking to evacuate Afghanistan, which was that northern entrance to the airport, and that's where they conducted their attack. Well, United States intelligence, knew about the plot, and you got to wonder, you know, should we have been there? Should we? I don't know. And then he says, we're going to hunt you down. We're going to find you. We're going to hunt you down. Well, we're evacuating. And we don't have the intelligence network that we had when we had a more active presence in Afghanistan. We lost that intelligence network. So are we depending on the Afghans for the intelligence now? We're going to hunt you down. How are we going to do it?
Exactly. I mean, most aggressive I've seen Biden so far is the clip. And it did make me question, because it's saying about the Pentagon knowing these things. It's like, well, if the Pentagon knew them, what was done to prevent it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that, what's going on? It's not being handled very well, to my perception.
No.
And that's very disappointing. And it's heartbreaking.
It is. And he also said they knew they had to get out. They knew the danger of this mission. They knew. But you know what? The way they handled it, and I'm not, Joe Biden, I've known Joe Biden as a senator and followed him, and he lived not far from me in the East Coast, and I know people rode the train with him when he used to take the train to Delaware, including my mother, actually, from Delaware to Washington on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We sat next to him. I know who he is. I know his heart. I know his thinking. I know where he lives in his psyche.
And
he's a man of great integrity, of great wisdom, even though that might be hard to digest right now, understandably.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't get this. Okay, I knew about the dangers of the terror attack. I knew this would be a very dangerous mission. I knew we had to get out real quickly because, we've been there for 20 years. There was a helicopter crash, a few other incidents. There was, 13. We haven't lost so many United States soldiers since the helicopter crash. I forget when. I'm not going to say a date because I don't want to be. I'm not wrong. But a while back, we lost, I think, 13 or 15 or something like that in a helicopter crash a while back, which, of course, was devastating. And these families, lost sons. I don't know, daughters. I didn't get the names of who was killed, sons and daughters, or just sons. I don't know. But anyway, these families, their kids were probably corresponding with them, saying, "Hey, we're getting out soon. We're evacuating. Should see you soon. We're coming home." Bam. And I hate to use the word needlessly so. We had a mission there. They did have a mission there. And you don't have to agree with the mission.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with the mission. I don't know if I agree with the mission. No, we talked about that earlier. But we're there.
Yeah.
We're there. We were there. Okay. So they volunteered for the military. They did not get drafted. They volunteered. They knew what the risks are when you join the military. Those are the risks. And those could be the consequences of joining the military. And you're so devoted to defending this country. And you got to thank and give honor to the people who do that for this, for the UK as well. You don't have a chance there, right? People join the military there. There's no requirement to do so. Am I right? In the UK?
No. I mean, you can pretty much go in and sign up and whatever. I mean, the one thing actually that jumped in my mind, and I don't know why, it's not like I was purposely thinking about it, was after I heard Biden's speech, one thing that struck me the most, okay? I hate to bring religion into this. The guy is Catholic. And from his outlook and his compassion and everything, he's put across that side of him to be very much for the people in that sense. So when he said the most powerful words of, "We will not forgive you and we will hunt you down," that is going completely against who he is and his beliefs. And supposedly, it's God's country, okay, that often is pushed in everybody's faces. We're God's country, God's chosen America and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, so many questions of what is that for you? What does that represent for you? And, when you go into religion and all that kind of thing, it's, okay, so, to earth human, to forgive divine, that is one of the biggest quotes of being passionate and being a forgiving soul. And when you hear somebody who's leading a country with those beliefs, and those beliefs are kind of the foundation of the U.S., that you're a God-chosen country, that they kind of contradict each other. So I understand that his position, I've got to show the enemy that we will not forgive you for what you've done, because if I show any forgiveness, it's going to leave the spirit to think that we're weak and that we're going to tolerate this cruelty and this bullshit. I understand that completely. So that's a real kind of interesting role you have to play to be a strong leader and facing up to the enemy from any country, same time being who you truly are. So it's like the two, that just really jumped, I don't know why it jumped out at me. It's just as soon as I heard that, we will not forgive you. It's like,
yeah.
Wow, you know?
What intrigues me is there was an attack on the U.S. military. Oh, by the way, updated. There's this is just pretty recent update here. The death toll has increased now to more than 170 people. I don't know if you've seen any disturbing images in the videos, but the Afghans, the ISIS, the Taliban are throwing dead bodies in the sewers.
No, I didn't. You know, I purposely slashed that landmine.
You don't want to hear the half of it.
No.
I'll tell you something. What they're animals? Can't even call them human. Can't even call them human. Taliban. I'm talking about here. Oh my gosh! But anyway, the 170 people is their most recent death toll. But what, as I was saying, what kind of intrigues me is an attack was made against United States military in a foreign country.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we going to do about it? We're withdrawing. We're leaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What if an attack is made? We have to retaliate. You would think. You know, we're leaving. We're going to hunt you down. As I said earlier,
leaving the country isn't resolving anything.
No, nothing.
And admittedly, it could be seen as a safety thing first, that keeping the soldiers safe, yes, I understand that's a wise thing to do. You want to keep them safe, sure. However, if you're going to hunt them down, and wouldn't you want to keep your step to show that you're standing up to them? And,
there's only around 75,000 Taliban. There's 300,000, there were 300,000 Afghan military soldiers.
Right.
Supposedly trained by the United States. Supposedly. I don't know what was
right.
There, but allegedly trained by the United States military. 300,000.
Yeah.
Who went running when the factions of the 75,000 began to take over the country of Afghanistan. The Afghan army said, oh, I'm out of here. And the Afghan president fled.
Yeah,
with a lot of money, escorted by U.S. Escalades.
Right.
So, to the airport. So, I don't know. Oh my God! I mean,
I'm
you got to
scratch
like your
you,
head.
My darling.
I don't know.
No, please continue. I'll carry on.
I'd like to think. I mean, I'm, and this show is committed to integrity, and we have a lot of fun. Obviously, we joke around a lot, but the underlying, foundation of our show is we're committed to integrity, to honesty, seeking the truth. That might be interpreted as left leaning. You know, it might be. Especially if you look at the insurrection. No, that wasn't Trump's fault. The big lie that the election was stolen. That, you know, and all the things we've talked about, for months now, lies and dishonesties and skewing things to suit their story and their editorial. But what we try to do here is look underneath the headlines, behind anything, seeking the truth, speaking the truth, and that could be interpreted as being more liberal when somebody thinks more. What is fairer for the masses, and that could be morality and law. What benefits most of the people is what tends to be what is interpreted as being more moral because the masses of the people gain from that. You know, we don't go around killing people. Most people think killing is wrong. It's a morality. And I'm going way off a deep end here, but just to give you an illustration, right, of morality.
Yeah,
we've talked
course.
About that in previous shows, of course.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you know, when we talk about the truth and integrity and what's good, you tend to be interpreted as being, you're liberal. Not that conservatives are liars and dishonest, but their storylines and the foundation of what they follow, and I'm just going to say the big lie as an example, and I know that all conservatives don't believe that, and most conservatives actually know that Biden won the election, and I don't want to keep rehashing that. Most conservatives know that Trump was behind the insurrection. You know, I can't say that accurately, that most conservatives, many conservatives. Because I don't know the actual number, obviously, but my interpretation is that many conservatives to believe that, that Trump did not have anything to do with the raid on our Capitol, even though they're all carrying Trump flags. Trump flags. I guess better know he had nothing to do with it. Yeah, no. They were tourists. They were tourists. They were out taking pictures. Yeah. They were tourists. What's that one congressperson said? Yeah, they're nothing more than after a couple of people, you think they were tourists on a Sunday. Browsing through the Capitol. Anyway, I just am very, we Biden did not put us in Afghanistan. Trump did not put us in Afghanistan. Obama.
No.
It was Bush that put us in Afghanistan. And we were in Afghanistan. We're there. And if we're there for 20 years, it almost becomes our policy to be in Afghanistan. Previous presidents said we got to get out of Afghanistan. Everybody talked about it. Nobody did it. We got to get out of there. And again, I think we've talked about this the last couple of shows. Were we a stabilizing force regarding terrorism by being there, by just having an anchor there?
Yeah.
Maybe it's best that we were there.
Yeah.
Do we belong there? Ideologically and politically, probably not, but. You know, maybe we should have stayed there. I don't know.
You've got the argument, haven't you, that we mentioned? But I mentioned on the previous show, the show called that other countries believe that we're interfering if we stay and try to kind of not can take control of a situation, but have a part of the situation, just try and maintain a peace within that country. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, oh, yeah, you're interfering. Go back to the country and do what you'd best. Leave us alone. But I think in a situation like this, something needs to be done from at the outside to help. I understand the Taliban have right to be there, sure. But what they're doing and what they've caused in the past and the present now, you know, I think, you know, they were saying that they weren't going to repeat anything that's happened before, and yet, you've had the suicide bomber already, you know, they're beating people. And, you know, there was this woman in the news today. These people from Afghanistan into our country, they've given like packages at the airport to help them and, you know, stuff for the kids and stuff just to make them feel a bit more welcome. And, you know, they're explaining how quiet they are and reserved they are because they're going through a tremendous amount of stress and, unsurety about everything right now, and so bless them, they've come through all nervous. And this one woman opened up and said that the Taliban are literally driving around every day in certain roads and they try to find certain people. They went through the family house and they probably would have taken sisters. That's what they do. The process to receive the refugees have involved a cross-government operation. So, this woman quoting that the type of things these people do is going above and beyond what should be allowed. And I think by having troops there to kind of monitor the situation could go two ways. It could really anger them even more and cause more disruption and an outbreak of war. Or it could really help keep some sort of peace level there, so that nothing chaotic and cruel plays out. I think it would just cause more problems if the US stayed. They would retaliate even stronger because they obviously just don't want anyone there. And in a sense, we feel strongly that someone needs to be there to try and intervene somehow. And it's a tough situation, isn't it? Because do we want to cause more problems or do we... would staying really, really help the situation? I think maybe in Biden's mind that by taking everybody out now, greater plans can be put in place to give them enough rope to hang themselves with. So by removing the US troops, it's kind of like, okay, we'll remove their problem because we're seeing a problem and we'll let them dig themselves a hole. And then when they dug that hole,
I see what you're saying. I like your thought on that. I do. The issue I have is that no human being has the right to enslave, imprison, rape women and people. And if that's what the Taliban's about, they have no right to exist.
Mm.
They have no right to exist.
Yeah.
And terrorize, behead, chop people's hands off, take people's heads off, torture, rape. That's what Taliban is about. And you know what they're going to do? You're right. They're going to dig a hole for themselves.
Yeah. And I think Biden's waiting for that perfect opportunity. And mm-hmm. that's when he will track them down and come after them. Mm-hmm. He's basically given them the opportunity to make that step so that then he's got a good enough reason and excuse to go in and say, right, this is what we're doing mm-hmm. right now. This is happening. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way it could play out. And I don't know what he's thinking, honestly, but that just seems like one of the most obvious, to me, things that, you know, he's trying to do. Because at this point, he probably hasn't got enough of a reason. I mean, the reason itself enough to go in and do something about it, but he's still got to have something more to say, okay, yeah, this is it. You've given us that perfect opportunity now to go and do this. Which quite often plays out in political and war and all kinds of that. But, you know, the Taliban are even closing nuke schools in an I think it's disgusting. They're saying, imagine being afraid for your safety because you have been learning to play the piano or sitar. And they said, this is what students and staff at the Afghanistan National Institute of Music are now facing. After the Taliban said they would ban music following their takeover of the country, the doors of the celebrated school are closed and its hallways are falling silent. The students are all fearful and concerned. Clearly understand that if they return to school, they face consequences or be punished for what they've been doing. That's awful. That really is awful. There's all this suppression that's already started. And I can just see it getting worse and worse, Andy. I mean, I think we're going to have a whole new terrorist situation here. And I hate to use that word. I hate the word terrorist because it gets thrown around too much.
Yeah. And you've had you're in your country in London. They've had some subway terror attacks. They've had you know, you've been these isolated bombings and killings in London. And it seems more so than we've had here, that type of terror attack. Of course, you know, I'm not putting aside, you know, 9/11 and so forth, but those isolated small bombings and killings and, you know, by ISIS and related factions. Yeah. You know, the thing is about Afghanistan. Afghanistan is composed of several factions, or they tribes, or however you want to describe them, and they've been fighting each other throughout eternity. I mean, that's what they do there. That's what they do.
You
can't settle or stabilize that country. The Russians tried it. They invaded Afghanistan. I remember the big headline with the tanks rolling in. I mean, way back, I don't know when this is, the 60s or so. I remember the headline at the time, long time ago. Russians tried to stay, you know, they came in, they invaded, they got out.
Yeah.
You know, we came initially looking for Osama bin Laden, supposedly. That's why we came in. George Bush and Obama got Obama. Where? In Pakistan. But he got him. Bush didn't get him.
Very true.
Right. So, and we've been there ever since. You know, we didn't find him. Obama got bin Laden. Why didn't Obama get us out? And Biden was part of that administration. Why didn't we leave then? Why?
Yeah.
Why did we not leave then? I want to know the answer. Call us 515-605-988 and fill us in if you know the answer to that question. Or email us, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Some people email us, andyandamandashow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us know. So anyway.
Please.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Oh, Andy, that's a vast question because it's just like, I don't think I have one specific favorite song. I have many, many favorite songs. I think one of my favorite songs is probably one that I've written myself. Because it has a lot of meaning, right? And a lot of feeling. And I put everything into it.
It should be.
That's my favorite song. No, but seriously, I think my all-time favorite song, one of them would have to be Crowded House Weather With You. That was, it has a lot of meaning to me because it was one of the songs I heard that I got hooked on and ever since a kid. And but actually another one I played for our advertising our show the other day on social media was a song by a group, British group I think they are, called Redbox, and the song's called Lean On Me, and it talks about humanity and people having a voice. And, you know, when I heard it, I started choking, you know, my throat was in all tight and my eyes were watering because I heard it when I was a kid and I didn't really understand what it meant when I was a kid because I was very young when I heard it, very, very young. And so when I listen to it now, it's like, wow, it's all been there in me, all that compassion for humanity and, you know, wanting to see change in the world, because that song spoke to me as a kid. Even though I don't understand it, it spoke to me. And now I understand why. So, yeah, I think that's another one, Andy. It's another one.
Pretty good. See?
Yeah. Jeff, how about you?
My favorite song would have to be, maybe this one.
What's it all about?
I keep asking myself that
question. Oh, that's a great one, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm always asking myself that question. You know, a lot of people,
beautiful,
you know.
Beautiful voice. Oh, well. Beautiful.
That's how I respond. Oh, well. Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh. No, yeah, when you get talking about music, I could just be there for hours. It's like movies as well. When people say to you, what's your favorite movie? I'm like, really? I can't answer that because I have too many. I don't think I could, you know, just go to one straight away because then the others start creeping and I'm like, oh, yeah, but wait, what about that one? Oh, and what about that one? Yeah.
No, what else is a good one?
What's that?
And it's time for What the People Say.
What's that from? Oh, Les Mis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you a funny story. Speaking of Les Mis, you got to check this out.
Oh, go for it.
You got to check this out. Let me figure out where it is. This is on, where is it? Is it Reverb Nation? YouTube, Reverb Nation. Years ago, 2013, I orchestrated the song Do You Hear the People Sing for Les Mis and sang in a Munchkin voice about seven tracks as the Munchkins singing it.
Oh, wow.
I got to play that
right
on the show. And I got so many followers. Is this on Reverb? I could picture all the followers. Oh, no, it's on SoundCloud. It's on SoundCloud. Da-da, SoundCloud. You know SoundCloud.com?
Yes, I do. I'm actually on there somewhere.
So do you hear the people sing under my name, Andy Kimball, and you'll hear me sing that song.
Okay.
And it's time for What the People Say.
Fantastic. Love it. What do people say?
Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah.
We needed that bit of humor, didn't we, really, after such a serious introduction to the show with
we like to humor on the show. We like to make fun of things. But come on. Take a break.
We believe in the balance. Hey, come on.
So if people don't know, Amanda and I, again, this is the Andy Amanda Show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. Amanda and I have never met. We've never dated. We are married. Go figure that. But on the internet. On the internet, yeah. And I've been trying to actually get our first date, you know, even though we're 8,000 miles away, because I've been telling her all along.
My baby, when you go out with me, money means nothing.
And it makes me pay. That's what it means.
And we make it up. We have a guest joining us here. We've been talking and teasing our audience all along about the bringing Lee Van Dusen back to address the AMC and GameStop and other matters of investment in the market and what it all means and short squeezes, long squeezes to get in, to get out, Fidelity. How do I get in? Fidelity Investments online, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Lee will come, you know, he joins the show and he's also asking this all the time.
Who am I? Why am I here?
And we're trying to help him answer that.
Yeah.
We're trying to help. We're trying to get there. And we're going to bring him on here. On our Friday show, he answers three basic questions.
The first, the second, the third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we never seem to be able to get the answers from him, but we are, you know, we're trying to.
You guys are not serious.
Yeah, we are. We are. We are trying to be anyway.
We really are. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, without further ado.
Here I come to save the day.
Let's invite Lee Van Dusen back on our program, but he's not here. Instead, who do we have? Cornell Butler.
Hey.
It's Clever from Another Mother. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? I done bought all the stock from Lee, so he's not coming back on the show.
Oh,
I left him
that's
zero.
What it is.
No, I'm just joking. How you doing?
How you doing, Cornell? I saw that you're joining the show, and I knew because Lee's. You know, normally not. I'm not sure if he's going to be joining us today. We try to get him on our Friday shows. But here's the deal that I had to introduce you because we talk on Friday about the AMC squeeze, about what's going on, as I said. But instead of having Lee Van Dusen come on to talk about it, we have none other than our own show coordinator based on our studios in Delaware talking about AMC and the stock squeeze and GameStop. So what do you have to say about all that, Cornell?
Well, actually, to me, my perspective on the stock, I was kind of skeptical about it. But since, you know, I invest in it, like us guys, I mean, you guys also, I have faith in it. And I just, you know, we'll see. You know, it's stock goes up, stock goes down.
It does.
You know.
Here's the interesting thing. It went up to 44.
44.
It's now down, it's in the red, which means it's gone down from there. It's now 40.27, right on there, floating up and down a couple of cents. But anyway, 40.27 figure, right? So I bought at 32.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we all did.
Yes. Yeah. I also bought at 37 as well because I saw it was creeping up, and I thought, you know, if I don't do this now, this could be one because they said that, you know, there's not going to be much stock left. And to get on it as soon as possible. And where we saw the price creeping up, I thought, okay, so this could be the start of things, you know, the ball rolling now and really starting moving. But when it went up to 44 the other day, I was like, whoa, I'm big.
Yeah.
Wow, crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah, but it went down. So, I mean, stock, you know, we all played the stock game and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But my perspective on it, hopefully it works. You know, I would love for it to work, but reality check, man.
Well, yeah, you've got to be wise and sensible with absolutely everything like this. Everything's a gamble. Everything in life's a gamble. You know, life
Definitely.
Is taking risks, but you have got to be sensible when it comes to your money. And, like, you know, sell off your house to do this, you know.
Right.
Don't put yourself in major debt over this. This is just, you know, play it sensibly. Lee said and Will said that only put in what you're willing to lose and
that's
see
right.
how you
that's
go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have faith in it. Like, it's just like you buy a car, right? You know, you buy a beautiful car. Who's to say when you get in the car it's going to start after you done purchased it?
Yeah.
It might start when you leave the lot, but after you get home, it's like, oh, okay, what happened?
It's
taking chance.
I heard that weird buzz again, that dinner, and then I got cut off, and then I had to send myself an invitation to join our own show.
Are you serious?
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I think I told you guys, I get those three tone, do-do-do, and then suddenly I'm off. you know, it's internet, blog talk. I don't know what it is, but I...
Amanda, why you do that to Andy?
Yeah, Amanda cut me off.
You're trying to make it the Cornell and Amanda show. Don't do that.
What can I say? Why
we already
sometimes.
Got rid of the juice, man. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We are going to bring, as I said before, let me just finish, because I know I got cut off. I'm sorry, you guys, you know, I don't know what happened, but we hope you guys enjoyed yourself without me. I'm sure you did, probably even more so. But anyway, I was saying, before I was so rudely cut off by whatever mechanism, I have this to say. I said, <Yes. laughs> nobody wants to hear it. Andy, please, no. We're back in the green on AMC. We're at 40. I said it's all red because we dropped down. But here's what I'm – this isn't the squeeze. This is just fluctuation. These are people buying in. When they made another attempt to drive it down, more people bought. I mean, huge numbers, huge, mostly by one corporation a little while back. We can talk about that with Lee. But tons of people are buying the stock. They're trying to drive it down. It's gone up. It went up to 44. I bought in at 32, 33. This is not the squeeze, but here's the deal. If I just bought, let's say, at 1,000 shares – I don't know, however many shares, you know, thousands.
Yeah.
At 33, it went up to 44. I could have just gone in, gotten out right then and just, you know, gone to In-N-Out and gotten a whole bunch of hamburgers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
or so, you know.
The secret is, big deal. It takes 3 minutes, get you an orgasm. Then go to sleep.
I didn't even get that.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew that as soon as I get on the show, I knew that was going to happen. I knew she was going to come on for some reason.
It's a Democrat hoax.
That's it.
We're going to bring our master of the subject of what's going on, the guy who introduced us to the whole concept and what's going on and how it works. Yeah. We're going to address it again because I know that every time we do this, our numbers go up and we have people who are just joining the show out of their own curiosity about what's a short squeeze, what's a long squeeze. And we kind of repeat it show after show because we have for the benefit of new listeners. It's only fair to do that, I think, as we gain, you know, audience and markets and, you know, go into new markets and you know, grow the show. We want to let people know what we're talking about and how best to do that is to, you know, give them the foundation.
Sick,
you know?
Stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Well, it's actually good that you are doing that, Andy, because the words fidelity and big squeeze, people could think it's a love and relationship show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You think you're squeezing them, Andy? No.
Oh, that's on my fidelity today. Ooh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and do
we are executing on our plan.
Yeah, you guys are not serious.
Yes, we are, and we're going to bring in our guest on Friday.
Yeah,
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Yes.
Oh.
Welcome, lovely.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, man? Welcome back.
I'm doing well, man. I was over here listening to the show, and I was hearing you guys talk about AMC, and I just got hyped up. I had to call in.
Go for it.
Good.
When you guys said you got to bring in your Delaware expert, you know, Cornell from over there.
I'm definitely a good expert for this.
Here I come to save the day.
I'd rather for them to bring the juice man on than me.
Oh,
the mighty mouse, we've got the mighty ape.
Yes.
The Mighty Ape.
Yes, the Mighty Ape.
Yeah. So, Lee, let's cut right to the chase. We went up to 44 this week. We're down at 40, going up again. I was hoping to go down to the 20s. Even though I bought in the 30s, I was looking to go down and buy a whole bunch more. Instead, we went up. Holy smokes.
Well, this is kind of what I was talking about. So, Monday, I said this, you know, to everyone I was talking to, is I think that we're in this 40 to 50 range now. So I think the floor is here. You know, I saw today that we just pushed down to 39-ish, and that was them really trying hard because they have to cover today. So they have a whole bunch of short positions that are covering under 40 and hoping that that happens. But, you know, so this is just the all-out war today with us buying and them trying to, you know, them faking. So this is just an all-out war today. We're going to stay in this. We're going to stay in this 40 to 50 is my prediction, obviously, for today. We'll see what happens next week. But my girlfriend just bought in right now at 40. So it's a good time. Like, hey, get the shares now because
okay,
this is
buy
exactly where we're at.
Maybe we can buy some on this live on the show. I want to buy some more right now as we talk. So excuse me if I
let's do it. 1,000 shares right here, people.
Come on. Not at 40. I can't do 1,000. I can't, and I'm not going to. See, I was looking to buy 1,000 shares in the mid 20s. I was about to go ahead and do it. Bam. And the heck with my daughter's college loans. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, then there you go. You buy 500, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Not as many shares, but same price.
That's what I did. So, Lee, GameStop was at 177. I forget if I bought a share. I don't think I may have one share. But I bought GameStop at 177. It's at 202 now. Going down slightly, you know, trending down, but just by a percent or so. But that would have been, you know, if I could have gotten a GameStop 177, I thought it was going to go down way lower. I was going to buy in. And everything's going up, man, against Andy's wishes here.
Hey. it's the problem with it, you know. I was just explaining this, and I'm like, here's the simplest way I could break it down for you. So you got a $30 stock price. The stock is worth 30. The stock is worth 40. You got two options here. Everybody, you know, obviously you would want to buy at 30. So we're just talking about one share. Mm-hmm. And that one share that you buy, you know, is at least worth $10,000. So whether you buy it at 30 or you buy it at 40 or you just miss out completely – is a no-brainer. If I got to pay an extra $10 to get $10,000, that's just smart. you know what I mean? I don't look at these numbers like that. I look at how much I have to spend and how many shares I want to acquire. And how do I do that? So you do watch it to see if you can kind of fluctuate to get that. But ultimately, I end up spending a little more to get the shares that I want rather than, you know, spending less to get less shares. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's more along the lines of if it's 40 right now, I would buy it before the end of the day, seriously, because we don't know what next week is going to bring. And then you're buying more. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Like I said, I told you on the show, you know, I bought at 57. So
I'm not sad about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sad about that at all. I bought again at 30. I'm more happy that I've acquired more shares than what price I bought it for. Let's say it that way.
Lee, for the benefit, as I was saying earlier, of folks that are just joining us or who have just joined us the show recently, you know, maybe over the past week or whatever, and today, in an elevator pitch, can you explain what a – and I know we've done this before, and I'm sorry to make you sound like a broken record, but for the benefit of those folks –
I almost want to make you explain it at this point. I want to hear if you grasped it over here.
You didn't tell me there's going to be a test.
All right, I'm the host, you're the guest now. Let's hear this.
I know basically, AMC stock is sold out. There is no more official shares of the corporation. But the stock continues to trade, and you can buy today, sell tomorrow, buy today, sell today. Buy today, sell next week, whatever. It goes up a few bucks. I'll make a few bucks, sell it then. So it's still marketable shares, but there is no value to it, and this is being allowed. But what the hedge fund managers are doing, and what the movers and shakers on Wall Street, let's call them that, whether they're hedge funds, whether they're the Smith Barneys, whether they're the people who control the millions and billions of dollars that truly do control the market. So they think. Those are trying to drive it down, but it's folks just like us, ordinary non-Wall Streeters, non-experts, not financial advisors, just ordinary people going to work, coming home, doing what we do for our lives, whatever it is, buying up the stock, going against what these supposed people who think they're controlling the market want to do, because they are counting on companies like AMC, which previous to the GameStop squeeze was down in the dumps, was single digits, right? And people would think, well, you know, these stocks are selling for a few dollars each. It's going to go down and down and down. AMC may not even exist. You know, let's bet. Let's go to the casino and bet, take the option on this thing going short. It's going to put all our hedge funds into that gamble, into that bet, because that's what's going to happen, so they say. It's going to happen. It's going to go down. Boom, we make out. If it goes short, we all win. They all lose. Well, guess what? We're not letting it go down. We're making it go up. And what's going to happen eventually is these counterfeit shares are going to be called in. They're going to be called in, and they got to pay. Who's got to pay exactly? Yeah. Who's going to pay the bill on that?
I just got to tell you, you nailed that. Yeah, absolutely nailed that.
A+.
Yes, my hard work has been paying off in the end. So who pays that? It's called a margin call. So when these positions are called over, they basically want them back. So it's a margin call from the banks. So, you know, because they're loaning out these shares. So it's just a constant back and forth. So the bank just says, hey, we don't think this is going to lose anymore. We think that you're going to lose. Give us the money back. Like, give us our shares back. We're done with this. So that's the DTCC, like I was telling you about, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. they have, mm-hmm. you know, quadrillions of dollars.
Yes.
That's going to go ahead and cover this.
Yes.
Fund
and
their
what's
own
also
paperwork.
Going,
that's what they're
yeah.
saying.
And what's going to happen is folks also what's already happened as a result of GameStop is some of those hedge funds have literally lost everything. Some went out of business. You know, there's hedge fund managers right now that are knocking on doors on Wall Street looking for jobs. What's going to happen is the counterfeit shares also is going that whole, the whole game, not GameStop, the whole game of what this really is going to stop. And when that happens, and also when you have a, like anything else, economics 101, when you have a scarcity of product, in this case it's stock, what happens to the value of that stock? Bam, through the roof. Mm. Oof. And we're going to see that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
very
yes.
much. Thank you. Yeah.
It's funny how different this conversation is going to be afterwards.
Afterwards,
we're going to be talking about how we're masters of the universe.
And we really have to address
incredibly important. And I think one thing I really want to get across in this is that women's sexuality, women's bodies aren't easy. Most men learn how to orgasm by about, you know, a very, very young age, and they do it accidentally. Women really have to focus and try to orgasm. They generally orgasm after like hours and hours of experimentation with a vibrator. And then you have to teach that to your partner. So it's incredibly difficult for a man to make a woman orgasm, despite all our, you know, preconceived ideas. For instance, only 30% of women can have an orgasm through penetrative sex alone. So intercourse doesn't generally do it for 70% of the population. I mean, most orgasms...
Yeah, see?
Whoa!
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different bunch of percentages. Okay.
Wow, we got some good information there.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Although, I wouldn't say I agree with it all, but yeah, do this.
No, I wouldn't say I agree with it all, but hey.
Yeah. No, that is, yes. So we are, and that is a depiction only on the Andy and Mander show, as they say. When
Thank
we
you.
Don't agree with something, the latter.
We are not sexual advisors.
Our
no.
Budget, but our investment, that's right. And the people we choose to bring on the show to talk about investments and investment strategy and money management and banking and stock trading organizations, we all are in agreement with that. We are all on the same page with that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
Thank you. Oh, that's a good crowd. Thanks, guys.
Are we clear?
Yeah. Now we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We're
anyway,
getting a lot of attention, aren't we, with this, with the MC? I mean, on his lips at the moment. And the ratings prove it.
It's everyone's talking about it. I mean,
yeah.
it literally, this week, it was, I don't know how many days, don't quote me on it, but I know for at least one day, it was the most traded stock in the entire world.
So, it was.
Wow.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. So, you know what I want to try to do, and I forgot to do this, is I want to, you know, we all, I think, I don't know what Amanda did in the UK, because I think, I forget. Amanda, you have to tell us how you did this, but I have relative since we started doing this. Oh, my God, I'm looking at my Fidelity Investments account. I've got much more than I started with. That was quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so,
pretty cool.
So what did you buy in at, Andy?
I bought in at 32. And I also bought...
You bought in at 32.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're seeing quite some gains now.
Yeah.
I mean, every ape was over here looking at this week just with this shit eating grin on. I know I was. But I'm like, you know, even though that I know the numbers don't matter, that they don't reflect the actual stock price, I still want to look at my brokerage account and see, you know, $2,000-$3,000 worth of gains. It's just nice to see it. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though I know they don't mean anything other than what price can I buy it for? You know what I mean? So everybody was like, you know, this week I'm sure super hyped. I'm looking at it starting to go on an uptrend right now. It's just going straight up. The chart's going straight up right now. So
yeah.
We're fighting back. What do we got? We got six minutes left. So yeah, we're fighting right now.
So Lee, I can't even like right now. I'm gonna see if I can make a purchase of more AMC. But here's the question I have: yeah, it's going up. It's going straight up. You're right. That if I make a buy right now, it's at 40.77. By the time they get my order in, which is already
nope. It'll be if you do a market buy, it'll be right now.
Okay, do a market buy. Got you. Okay.
If you do a market buy, it'll go through right now.
All right, I gotta do this right now. So excuse me for a minute. Do. How many shares?
500 shares.
500.
I'm gonna be pissed when I get on this show and Andy's got more shares than I do.
Well, here it is. Action. Select action. Trade. I want to.
Yep.
Trade.
Yep.
Okay,
buy. Market order.
Yeah, go my individual account, which I have cash in. You got to put cash in your Fidelity account, which I did early on. So I've got cash sitting in there right now, not being spent. So it's going to here. It's going to buy at 40.865. It says, but I want to.
Okay.
I'm not going to buy
it. Get it. Get it. It's going up.
Okay, got to get rid of dollars. Right, I'm going to invest dollars. My firstborn kid, my house, my car, my guitars. What else?
I noticed he didn't mention that Tesla.
Yeah. No.
He said, I can leave the rest with the Tesla.
That's right. Because he's living in Tesla. He's pretty much kicked out. He doesn't drive his room and
okay, there we go. Oh, is the market closed?
Nope.
No, should be.
Nope, you got 4 minutes.
It says,
what's it say?
Oh, got it. 500
All right.
shares, you say? 500?
Yeah, let's see it. It's like we're playing poker right now, man. Let me see that bluff.
I'm not used to spending that much money on anything, but I should bet 500 shares right now. Okay. How about 200 right now? All right. I'm doing market, right? Preview order. Hit preview order.
Yeah. You're doing 200 right now?
Huh? Say again?
Good on you.
Well, it says, please be advised you're placing. I got a note. It says, please be advised that you're placing an order near the market close. If your order does not reach the market before closing time, your order will be eligible for trading on the following business day.
Yeah, so get it in quick or you
right now.
Won't get it
order.
Today.
I did right. It said received. H27WPN. Got it.
Bam!
Done.
Boom, baby. Boom.
Woo, dog it.
So here, you hear it live right now here on the Andy and Amanda show. So he bought 200 shares, and I'm telling you that this stock is worth at least $10,000 a share. So you just bought $2,000, in my opinion. You just bought $2
million. $2
million.
$2
million. $2
million. Whoa. So, hey, Lee, what kind of fish sandwich do you like? What kind of fish sandwich?
I want a trip to Brazil or some shit for this, man.
Rio.
My man asked me at one of these shows, he said, what's your favorite beer? I told him my favorite beer. He said, all right, I'll buy you one. Millionaire going to buy me a beer. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
It better be a solid phone call, right? I meant to say earlier on the show that Cornell has left us, bless him. He had to rush off. But, yeah. Sorry, Lee. Over to you.
Oh, no worries. So, Andy, how many shares do you hold total now?
I got to go back and look. I'm off. I bought – what did I buy before? I have to go book. Hold on a minute. I bought 100 before, I think, right? So
you got 300.
300 shares.
It might be one. He did surpass me. You did surpass me.
I did?
No.
I'm holding 262.
Wow. That's impressive.
Wow. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Let me just tell you guys, like, welcome to the club. This is, like, you know, when you're in this deep, oh, you're in it now. When you're in this deep, oh, trust me, you're an ape now.
There's no turning back, baby. No turning back. brave.
So let's talk exit strategy. So what, Andy, personally for you, what number do you think you're comfortable selling at?
41.
There you go. You made yourself $300.
I was personally
around 10,000, like I said in previous shows. I was personally around 10,000 a share. It's already there. I see it. I can see it in black and white that it's already surpassed that. So when this happens, it's already at that number.
10,000.
So this is like, you know, having the conversation, you know, in the past, because you're already a millionaire. In my eyes.
Wow.
I mean, and in millions of other eyes, we're already millionaires. We're just talking about it before it happens.
That's you're talking $3 million.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking.
Well, I give it half back to government, so $1.5 million.
Sure. Yep.
That'll buy me a nice boat. That'll get me a nice boat. That'll get me a date with Amanda, even though I'm gonna make her pay anyway. That'll get me a
Hey, what are you saying here?
Yes.
Well, actually, that's probably a compliment because I don't want to be seen as cheap either.
Oh,
That's what I was going to say, Andy. You know, instead of the beer, I was thinking about this because you sell boats, right?
Yep.
So well, instead of the beer, you just waive all the fees.
Yeah.
I'll buy my boat through you because I'm certainly buying a yacht.
Yeah, you got it.
Woo!
I'm licensed to sell boats, but I'm not. But when the time comes, I can get you a boat. But I'm not. I wish I could be doing that now. Speaking of making money when there's boats, there is so little inventory. Not only getting off topic here just for a second, but I'm in the market to buy a boat. I've been sending Amanda pictures of all these sexy boats that I want to take her out sailing on, and she's been looking at them, booing and eyeing. And you know what I'm saying? Anyway, there's no inventory out there, and a couple of boats I've looked at, I've had surveyors go on. It just and there's like. For the boats I'm looking for like a 50 to 52, maybe 47, 48. There's 7 boats available, and some of them already have offers on them, and a couple of them are overpriced, and one I already had surveyed that ain't going to happen. So there's no inventory out there now, and hopefully – also, in the housing market, it's about the same. There's no homes out there. If you want to buy a house, good luck. You know?
Yeah.
The bidding wars, things going above asking, it's crazy. It's nuts, so.
It is. Robin.
Yeah.
It's like trying to buy. Have you seen B class RVs? Have you seen those? They're like almost like they're like glorified conversion vans.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, like so let's say like a 1985 with like 180,000 miles on it is selling for like $30,000.
Whoa.
That's it. I'm in the market. I've been looking and looking and looking, and it's like. It's supply and demand, and there is no supply.
Wow. It seems like everything's in chaos at the moment with supply and demand, because not only are the things like that going up in price, things are not being able to be produced fast enough, like microchips for technology. They're literally struggling to provide enough microchips for all this new technology coming out. So they're kind of panicking a little.
Right.
I'm like, whoa, you don't never heard this before. Yeah.
Well, it's suggesting, you know, if the housing, housing is way up, boats are way up, RVs are up, everything is way out of the price range that it normally was. That's suggesting that everybody's in the money right now. So during the pandemic, everybody's in the money somehow. And guess where that came from? Guess where it came from?
You know,
unemployment.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I'm just watching AMC. Today's gain is $15.92. AMC Tesla's gain.
All right.
$10. So I'm in Tesla too, by the way. I'm in Tesla. I'm not in GameStop. I thought I was in GameStop. I'm not in GameStop.
Oh, so we ended green.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That's exactly what the hedge funds don't want. That means that they lost.
What a Fidelity. Shame. Oh. I got to talk to everybody real quick. Go to Fidelity Investments, open up an account, put some money in there, and have some fun with this thing. And I'm not saying go ahead and buy 1,000 shares, but buy it, whatever. Instead of going to Starbucks, put some money in, have some fun. What's a cup of coffee cost you? Just get in this, and by participating, by playing the game, which is more, it's going to be much more the game when this thing happens, and it's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. But right now, just call it a game. You know, do you go to a casino? Do you put some quarters in the slot? Do you go to the craps table? Do you go to the roulette wheel? Instead of doing that, get on your computer, open up a Fidelity account, transfer money. There's a mechanism to do that. Transfer money into your Fidelity account from your checking or your savings, and have some fun. And play around. You know, like instead of going to the casino, grab yourself a beer, sit down at your computer, and have some fun with this thing, and watch what happens to your money. You wouldn't think twice about going to the casino and putting some quarters in the machine, would you? About going to the blackjack table and spending a few $100, right? Or $100, or whatever it might be, $50, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Instead of putting $50 there, buy a couple shares and have some fun. You know, and just to watch how it works, play the game, participate, and your participation, no matter what level, helps everybody who's playing the game. Everybody benefits by you playing too. So do it.
The casino is very much like the stock market. And it has been in the past, and exactly what we're trying to change for, you know, 10 plus years now is the house wins. The house always wins. Well, not now. We are the house now. We own the house and the neighborhood and the island that it's on.
Absolutely. It's a house of cards is what it is, and it's going to come tumbling down.
Yep.
Incredible. Incredible. I mean, it's such an exciting subject to talk about each week. I really do look forward to Friday's show simply because of the whole adrenaline and the meaning behind all of this and the fact that, yeah, all right, we can make some money. But, you know, it's great. It's so, so great. And, you know, I've had people mention to me, so what's all this AMC thing about that you keep hearing about on the show and you keep promoting? And it's like, well, you got to check this out and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully, you know, there's people I know willing to buy into this, because like you, Lee, you've been wanting to see all your friends and family benefit from it, and you know, I would love the same thing. If you know, if anybody can benefit from this, it's such a marvelous thing, incredible. And those hedge funds, wow, I'm gonna give them cheers. They're gonna be doing it by hand.
Yeah. So here's the latest thing that we've all been talking about, the eighth community, is that, you know, whenever anybody sells, you know, everybody's holding, basically I'm holding my shares so the price goes up. I'm holding for you is what they say. So
yeah.
I'm holding for you, you're holding for me, we're holding till the squeeze, we want this thing to skyrocket and we all want to get rich. So the key here is to hold on to your shares, because the more people that sell off their shares, the longer this is going to take, and then the shorter the stock value is going to, you know, be. So
yeah.
This is like a buy and hold deal. So what everybody's, you know, what we're all talking about is, you know, selling at the price point that we want and then just leaving one share in. So if everyone leaves one share, then the computer is like malfunctioning because it still has to buy back every share. But it can't. So then the stock price of that one share, if everyone holds on to it, it's just going to be astronomical. So you sell at your price point, you leave one share in there, and then you see where that takes you.
That's really a good idea.
If that takes you to 500,000 a share, 750,000 a share, just that one share, you already made your money. Now this is just play.
You
just see where that deal.
You know something interesting? I'm just looking at all these different things that in Fidelity. I just go in, look at it, and go out. I never really play with all the different things that you can analyze, and your performance and how you manage your cash. Look at your performance, analyze the market, analyze your investments, plan the future. Look at your orders, look at your balances, look at your positions. I mean, it's incredible, and it's all free. There's no commission on the trades, right? So I'm looking here. My AMC Entertainment Holdings had my profit has been 15.18% within a couple of weeks. Well, you tell me, what in the world can you invest in and make 15% on your money in 2 weeks?
That's not easy to do.
Hell no.
No,
it's not easy to do.
Even if you own a business, you have your overhead and your cost and your employees and your this and your that. I mean, 15%, that's over and above your normal, what you normally make. Let's say you own a business and you normally make this much profit. You're paying your bills and you have your house and all your expenses and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, you made, unless something, you know, happens that everybody rushes to Wendy's or something, but to make 15% more than you were making in 2 weeks is very difficult to do. And that's net, 15% net.
Yeah.
You put money in, you take,
and
if I were to take money out today, I'd close it all out. You know, goodbye Fidelity, close the whole thing out. I made 15.18% on AMC, and I'm down 0.62%, which is really nothing, on Tesla. So Tesla, I lost $4.38. I think I live with that.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I'm looking at mine right now. I'm at I'm up 230%.
Jesus Christ.
Woo-hoo. You don't hear any of
the
like that.
We're still low. We're still low. This is nothing compared to what we're gonna do.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
Wow.
So Andy, now you're gonna see. So you're going to see when you're going to get the feeling, and all these feelings are going to come to you now, because now you got a chunk. You got a chunk into it, and now all these feelings are going to come to you, and this is where you have to keep a straight head, keep your head screwed on, because this is what they want to do, is they want to scare you. So this is what I was talking about every single time that I've been on the show, is they want to spread fake news, spread the FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and make you sell that. That's what they want you to do, is sell that. Mm-hmm. And you just have to tell yourself, like, literally, I had to take the week off from watching AMC. I only watched a couple videos before I came on today. I had to take the week off because I'm like, they're just putting it down. They're spreading all this stuff. I'm like, I just need it off from it. And then we're green, so we're good. So you just got to keep your head straight, because this really is a mental game as well. So,
oh, definitely, yeah.
But what you'll benefit from is when you open up your account and you got $5,000 extra from the day before, now that you're holding that many shares, it's like, holy shit. So it's fun at the same time.
I like you, just totally forgot about it. I mean, sitting there, you know, I can pay my bills. I'm doing all right, you know, and money would have been literally sitting in my checking account if I didn't put, you know, I don't have any other investments. I really don't. So my money is sitting in my bank account, just literally sitting, doing nothing for me. So I put it in Fidelity. I wouldn't know. How do I know the difference? Day to day, you know, you wake up in the morning, you spend your life that day, you go to bed that night, or maybe the following morning, like myself, you go to bed whenever you do, and you wake up and you do it again, and my life is no different. So now my money is in this AMC, and my life is still no different, and I forgot about it, and
that's exactly,
I didn't know anything.
That's exactly
I didn't know
what
it was doing until Amanda, I think, texted me or WhatsApped me or something, and said, did you look at AMC? I said, 44. And I'm like, holy crap. I had no idea. I had no idea. Totally. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
that's exactly how you play it, and it's like I said, it's tough. Like, you know, I'm in a group chat and a group email with you know, a mm-hmm. whole bunch of different apes, and you know, we're trying so hard not to look at it. Like, that's just what the general consensus is let's not look at it. But then when you got green days like this and you're making thousands of dollars, it's so hard not to look at it and then get all excited again. So it's an emotional roller coaster, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the richest roller coaster you've ever ridden.
Mm. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Mm, mm, mm. Well,
incredible.
I'm loving this.
Me too. So, me too.
Amanda, how much did you invest?
Oh, darling, I don't want to sadden everybody. let's just say less than 10, because that's all I can afford.
Okay.
Well, that's all you should do. You should only do what you can afford, obviously.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. I got major game plans this year, so a lot of the money has been going in different directions. So, yeah, I can only go under 10. But, you know, it's still an investment in my eyes, and that's incredible.
It's still an investment. Yeah. It's you know, even with 10, you're still looking at, it goes to 10, what's that, 100,000? So you're still looking at 100,000 right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody, you know, it really is where you are comfortable. And I want every listener to understand that and hear that. It's what you're comfortable putting in. It's not like, hey, you know, I'm just putting it all in and betting everything in on it, because this it is, in my mind, it is a sure thing. But it's not a sure thing of how long this is going to play out. So, you know, you can't bet the house on something that you don't know when it's going to happen. You know, you just have a hunch of when. Now, you know, Will, you know, Loback, you know, we've had him on the show. He's strongly predicting, and nobody talks time frames, but he's been predicting that the first or second week of September, game on, it's here. Is what he's saying. So I can't predict it. I have no idea. But he honestly has done more research than myself. And, you know, he's the data guy. And he says all the mm-hmm. data leads to the first or second week of September, which, if that's true, folks, go on and get in what you can get in right now.
You know something? the AMC has, they've ready for this? The company has finally utilized the heavy liquidity to raise cash and aftermarket ordinance to the tune of $1.2 billion in May and in June 2020. So they've done a lot. They're doing some heavy duty activity, aren't they?
Yeah. They're buying up all kinds of theaters. They're doing all kinds of stuff. So this is like, that's what I was telling you guys is good companies, they pivot. And
you
they pivoted.
Something interesting? It says AMC has taken a life of its own after having raised its average trading volumes in excess of 100 million shares a day, with some days hitting over a half a billion shares.
It's so true. It is so true.
Jeez.
Just yesterday alone, 200 million shares were traded. 200 million shares. Do you understand that the whole float, the entire thing that you could buy of AMC is 500 million shares? 200 million of them yesterday were traded.
Whoa.
Well, tell me how that makes sense.
Let me ask you a question. What is the risk, and what is the scenario of this not happening and it going bust, and all these people were thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to make $1 billion, and it's hopefully
I've racked my brain over and over, and I've posed that question to every single person that I could, because obviously I'm an optimist. That's just the person that I am in nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I also, you know, I am that way because I look at all the what negative things can happen, what could happen to us. Nobody's given me any reason to doubt that this is going to go sideways. There's backup plans upon backup plans upon backup plans. Even if the whole entire market goes down, which is what, you know, the SEC and the DTCC, everyone's trying to avoid that whole market crash. So even if the entire market crashes, we've got an insurance policy. So and then, like I said before, if our profits exceed that insurance policy, which is $67 trillion, then the government literally has to start printing money to pay us, because you can't go to a casino and bet, you know, $100,000 on black, and then black turns up and the casino's like, nah, I ain't got it, man. It doesn't work that way. Which is exactly what the hedge funds are doing. They're failing to deliver. So if I'm betting against it, you know, saying that this is going to happen, and then I'm getting my big payout, and then the hedge funds are like, nah. That's exactly what they're doing. Like, nah, I ain't got it, bro. So they're failing to deliver, which is why they're on the securities list, which is why they're in big-ass trouble right now. You just can't do what they're doing. And that's exactly what they're doing, and we're going to show everything. We're showing it all. It's already in the works. This train is moving. The rocket is lit and ready to go.
Wow.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I need to be here.
Well, Amanda, hearing what you – I will hereby award you one of my shares.
No, Andy. Yeah. No.
All right,
no,
forget that. I will hereby get you two fish sandwiches.
Better be good fish.
I'll even throw in the fries. I'll even get your fries.
Oh, thank you. The ketchup.
It was funny. It was funny. Will was like, he, you know, we were all in this group text together, and he posted this album cover, you know, of a vinyl. And he's like, you know, whoever can guess what this is, you know, what band this is and what album it is, I'm giving a share of AMC to. So immediately I saw it, and I'm like, I listen to that song. I listen to the album like at least once a week. So it ended up being Pink Floyd. And he's like, all right, so you win the share, you know. So I won the share, and he's failed to deliver. But I told him, I said, I'm going to hold you to that one share. I said, you should pay it now, because, you know, when it's, you know, $20,000, $30,000 a share, you're not going to want to give it to me then. So you might as well give it to me now. Because I'm holding you to it either way.
So yeah, that's true. So if I actually gave Amanda a share, if I give, right, and I bought it, and it's a 10, I would give her like $10,000. If it hits $10,000 a share.
If it hits $10,000, you're giving it $10,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I just said, no, when it hits 10,000. There's no if there.
What a great wedding present. That's it. I'm sticking with you. You can stay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so very sweet.
Oh, you know, and as
oh,
I, you know.
Well.
I'll get you guys a free popcorn, you know, on me at AMC movie theater on your honeymoon.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Don't want me paid for it.
I was going to say you're going to eat some popcorn and watch.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah, that's what he'll say.
So do you guys have AMC theaters in the UK?
We don't actually, darling. Well, not that I'm aware of. I think it's strictly.
I think they call it something else. They call it something else over there, but I think it's owned by AMC.
This issue is under investigation.
Mm-hmm. Let me check it out. I'm right in front of my computer. Let me check it out. So, do we have?
Mm-hmm. So every AMC investor can go to the movie theater and get a free popcorn for being an investor.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was offering it for your honeymoon. It's free.
Wow. So how do you tell them you're an investor? Because how do you do that? You just go up to the counter and say, hey.
You go on to AMC's website, and
mm-hmm.
it's an investor's portal that you go into, and you sign mm-hmm. up for it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then they give you get all kinds of benefits from being an investor. So you can, you know, the last one I heard was the free popcorn. It's a free large popcorn.
I also heard.
What, probably like $10 every time you go, so.
Yeah, I heard they're going to give you.
He's going to have good sex for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Your sock's going
yes.
to.
We do have AMC here. We do. Wow.
Well, I thought so.
Yes. That's so cool. You've never seen one, I guess, was wherever I've traveled to. I've never actually seen an AMC here. But, yes, they do exist here. Various places, London, Manchester, Milton Keynes. Yeah, there's lots. Wow.
So that's what's like cool about it. So Andy, you'll have to try it out. And Amanda, if you have one close, is when you go to an AMC theater, you walk in and you're like, I own a part of this place. It's like a euphoric feeling. I own part of this theater right here that I'm standing my 2 feet in. I own a part of it.
That's
it's just
good.
So cool. And then yeah. you start to admire it, you know? You're like looking at the architecture and shit. You've never done before.
The rose tinted glasses come on.
This one.
You walk through the lobby and you smell roses and everything looks glorious.
Yep.
Oh, love it. Yeah, that's so cool. I'm going to have to try and go to one because we've got Cineworld here. Which is one of the biggest in the UK, Cineworld. I think they took over and they pushed out Odeon. We had one called Odeon. But looking
mm-hmm.
at this,
okay.
when I entered AMC theaters here in the UK, it's come up with, let's have a look. It says, subsidiaries AMC Entertainment, formerly the Binsky Bros, traded as NYSE AMC, and it says divisions Odeon Cinemas Group. So whether it's actually part of Odeon, I don't know. Wow. Okay. Because Odeon was literally the biggest cinema here in the UK.
We have that here. Yeah, we have that here as well in California.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Cineworld's
mm-hmm.
pretty cool. But they got the whole 4D experience.
That.
Hey, I said it was pretty cool. I didn't say it was amazing. Let's just say AMC stands for amazing. Amazing content.
Yeah.
Oh, That's so cool.
Oh yeah. So I'm excited to see how this is going to play next week. You know, if we stay in this 40-50 or we take it to the next level, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. So, you know, even to come up like this, you know, because you have to understand that they are still doing what they're doing every single day, every hour of every single day. They're still printing shares. They're still, you know, doing this fraudulent shit, and they can do this. They can afford to do this for as long as everyone will allow them. They're doing this, and our stock price is rising because they can't compete with the amount of buying pressure there is.
Yeah.
They can't print them fast enough to get the price to go down. they just can't. There's so much buying pressure. You know, everyone in the world is buying this stock, and these guys are just digging themselves in deeper. So, you know, these major institutions have been buying in now. So this is a sign for me that this is about to go down is – you know, you got all the retail investors. We've been saying it for, you know, over 9 months or something like that. You know, we've been screaming and hollering this, and now everyone else is hopping on board. So now that you got the big boys in here, this is how you know that something's going down.
Yeah.
You can speculate all you want, but the money talks and bullshit walks, and money's making right now. Money's in it right now, so...
And there's going to be those people out there as well that are kicking themselves, that are thinking, you know, oh, no, that's too risky for me. Yeah, you carry on. You invest. Yeah, we're just going to watch it all fall apart.
You know what
and be like,
what I want to learn about, and maybe, Lee, you can help us with this too, perhaps. I want to get a knowledgeable accountant who's worked with capital gains and portfolios, not investment advisor, but a CPA, on the show who can talk about ways to get around capital gains. And there's, you know, I don't know the answer to these questions, but I know, for example, if you buy a home, especially the first time home buyer, and you buy another one in 2 years and you've made money on that home that you've sold, you don't have to pay any tax on it if you invest that money in another property within 2 years. And there's other things, even in yacht acquisitions and various things, there's ways to get around capital gains. And what my question is, and I don't know the answer, is if you took that capital, let's say I have an LLC, the Andy Demandio Show is within my LLC that I own.
Right.
And let's say I make an investment in, you know, I buy a bunch of fish sandwiches to feed my partners in my business. $1 million. We're not just talking to any fish here.
talking about $1 million fish.
So
fish.
Or I bought another business. Let's say I started or I bought another business with the capital gains, and that business had employees and blah 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 blah. Because I reinvested that money in something else, am I still subject to the same capital gains as though I just took it and wanted to put in my bank and said, "Hey, I'm rich now"? And are there ways to get around paying all that capital?
I'm sure there are. There's people, you know, this is what wealthy people do, is they figure out the ways around that. that's how the wealthy stay wealthy, is they ain't paying the tax on it. So I'm sure there's ways. And I've got somebody in mind that I think I could bring on the show, a CPA, that might be able to answer these questions for us.
Can you let Amanda or Cornell know about, you know, and you know, they can orchestrate a date with that, whoever that person is.
And
you come on too, maybe next Friday, maybe even next Friday. I can't believe we're coming up towards the end of the month. Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's going fast. It really
is.
Is
it though?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. My, oh, my.
I know.
I'm going to be, we'll be doing the show remotely next Friday as well. I'll be in White Plains, New York next Friday. So we'll be doing, we've practiced these remote shows and we're going to go for it again. Actually, next Friday I'll be in White Plains, New York. I'll be in Charlotte on the
same
second.
Time.
I'll be in Charlotte. We're Charlotte, North Carolina, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there on the second, and I'll be on White Plains on the third, and I'm not sure if I'm ever coming back. Anyway, so hopefully I'll have some money to talk about by then. We don't know. But anyway, we'll do this show remotely, and so maybe the next Friday we can orchestrate. As a matter of fact, if I am remote, it would be better, Lee, to have because who knows how my connection is going to be, and if you can bring somebody else on the show as well.
we might be able to extend.
Would it be at the same time?
Yeah, same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll ask.
Yeah.
Aw.
So we'll try to do that. And speaking of which, we got to wrap this show up. I'm getting lights flashing and all this kind of stuff here. So this is so much fun. I could go on forever talking about this. It's exciting. It's informative. It's educational. And it beats going to the casino and losing everything. So liking this. So and in all honesty, but we're not investment advisors. I want to make that very clear. Nothing we say here is done with any type of officiato authority. Or licensed to give you advice, because none of us have that. We're just ordinary people talking about what we're doing with our own money, and we're entitled to do that as wherever and whenever we choose to do so. So given that, we also want folks to understand that, of course, there's a risk. This thing, it is possible for this not to happen, and we can talk about maybe the risks and as we research them. And I've been doing some reading about, you know, there are some people who are knowledgeable about this, who write articles and say, hey, you know, think real carefully before you do this. And there's some people up there who are doubting. Although when you look at the millions and billions of and the players that are putting all their money in AMC right now, you got to wonder why would they be doing this? You know, why would they?
you still have those people that are saying, you know, oh, it's a huge risk. All these retail investors, you're all going to lose. Those people are being paid by the hedge funds to say that to you, to put that in your face. That's what you have to understand. Like. Obviously, that no one can refute. Not one person has ever refuted my data and said, "Oh no, that's wrong." You know, it's not doing that. Nobody can refute this data because it's correct data. So at the end of the day, the naysayers are just full of shit.
You know something? No, it's the same. And you look at this too. There are some people who get up in the morning and who do they worship? The guy who sells pillows on cable TV. What's his name? Mike Lindell. I got the data.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
maybe we should send them a for laxatives.
They're out there. Anyway, that's something we're going to touch on next week. I wanted to touch on this. We didn't. We'll do it Monday. Food for thought over the weekend, folks. Monday, we're going to talk about a federal judge sanctioned 13 or is it 9? I forget. I don't have it in front of me. Either 9 or 13 lawyers. I forget. I think it's 13 lawyers who filed frivolous lawsuits regarding the election being stolen on behalf of Donald Trump. These folks have – it's been referred to the bar associations and the individual lawyers' states have been referred to for disbarment and penalty and sanction. So we'll see what happens to the Wood – what's her name? Lynn Wood and all the other attorneys that tried to file lawsuits in Michigan and other states based on lies. And you can't – if you know something's a lie – You have a responsibility to the courts. And one thing that has been done is the federal judge also, I know we got to go, but just real quick, because we'll talk about this on Monday, said that these lawyers have to pay the legal bills, the other side's legal fees and the court fees that were incurred by their actions in filing these lawsuits. So that's going to be interesting food for thought. To join that discussion, we are on at noontime, Eastern Daylight Time at noon, River Time, that is on the East Coast. In your world, it's 9 a.m. in the Pacific. It's 5 p.m. in the UK. But dial 515-605-988. Email the show at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. And visit our website, andyandamandashow.com. And we also have Twitter and Tweeter and Twatter and all that kind of crap, whatever you call it. So
I love me some Twatter.
Yes, I bet.
Did I say that out loud? Let's not end the show with that.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't tell you that. You're right.
Oh, no.
Yes.
On that,
that
note,
might be, that might be
molecularly impossible.
Yes.
Oh, and I just want to say, because it's just been reported that New Orleans is getting, should be preparing for a direct hit from the hurricane. Ida is due to strike there, Category 3. So, guys, please be very careful. If you're in that area, you know, brace yourselves, do the right thing. Let's hope it's not as serious as it's showing it is. So, oh, my goodness.
I have a message for Ida. I have a message for Ida.
Please tell me that's not your plan.
Yes, I agree. Come on, Ida.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, we'll see where that. When's it supposed to hit? You know? Do you know?
It says that... New Orleans braces for a direct hit from hurricane.
Oh man.
Yeah. Apparently, it's going to be as bad as Katrina, which happened 16 years ago.
No, really?
Yeah. That's what they're saying.
I've got Ida on the line now. Wait, we're calling Ida. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Trying to get in touch with the hurricane directly. We have these powers here on the show to be able to do things like this. Hold on a second as I dial into. Here we go. Ida,
you
do this?
My pretty, and your little dog too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness! Heavy rain and winds as well is meant to hit Cuba. So yeah, guys, just be careful, please. You know, I worry about people with these hurricanes.
You have no power here. Be gone.
Yes. Yeah. Be gone, Dennis. You know,
anyway.
That's probably our audience right now saying, oh my god, more of that crap, just be gone already.
I think they're signing us off here a little bit, but you know, I think we have a couple seconds left. Anyway, Lee, thank you for joining us. And this has been great, always a great time, and we'll see you next week. I'll be from Wake Forest, New York. Amanda will be in the UK, and Lee will be in Southern California. Thanks again for joining the Andy and Amanda Show, folks. It's always a pleasure. We love doing what we're doing. We have some kind of audience out there, which is growing. We appreciate it. We're looking to grow the show, too. Spread the word. Thank you very much. Andy and AmandaShow.com. And, Amanda, go ahead and get us the hell out of Dodge.
Okay, then. So on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, thank you to the awesome man, Lee Van Dusen, for joining us. We can't wait to have you back next week. Thank you, more importantly, to you guys for tuning in and, you know, supporting us. We love you so much. Join us again Monday. Have an amazing weekend, and we'll speak to you then.
Take care, folks.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Folks.